I started speaking about this with state's attorney, Don Knapp, at least 6 months ago, as far as the need to have some type of ordinance in place. The problem is the courthouse also has the jail. And, you know, we have to protect the jail and the courthouse. And, you know, we need some type of ordinance in place and some type of procedure to make sure the, you know, these protests are done at a time that is not interfering with court business or with jail business. And one of the things that runs through your mind is you certainly don't want all kinds of protesters out in front of the courthouse when you have potential jurors or potential witnesses in criminal cases coming in. And then the fact that, you know, the protests we have had in the past couple months, my department spent close to $20,000 in overtime making sure that the jail and the courthouse stay secure because of the protests we've had. So that's, you know, that's a cost that gets passed on to the taxpayer that you know, we don't like having. But like I said, we've got to make sure the jail's secure. So, you know, we're looking at different ways. We certainly don't want to limit anybody's, right to free speech, but, you know, there's got to be a mechanism in place to make sure it's done right. And, you know, one of the original ordinances that was looked at was actually less restrictive than the city of Bloomington's ordinance. So, you know, we're just trying to get a procedure in place and, you know, make sure that if you're going to have a rally or anything like that, there's a contact person that we can contact if we have any issues. You know, a little more than a month ago, there was a rally and a protest out front of the Law and Justice Center, and a lot of chalk was written all over the sidewalks and stuff. And certainly that doesn't cause permanent damage, but it does cause overtime as far as having maintenance staff having to come in and wash that off. And also, you know, it was some of the chalk was very disrespectful and done on a memorial out front of the Law and Justice Center to victims of a drug overdose.
That was the graffiti that you'd refer to?
Yes. So, you know, we're going to go through great lengths to protect the Law and Justice Center and the jail, and we just need an ordinance in place to back us up on that.
The ordinance, if we can go into a couple of the points in the ordinance where it suggests that the old courthouse grounds, the McLean County Museum of History, should be the primary place unless they can demonstrate that they simply can't hold it there because of sheer size. Is that an attempt to remove those protests that may take place or end up outside the jail?
No, I mean, that it has been that way for a long time, even though we had no procedure in place. In the past several years, all type of rallies, protests, anything, were urged to the old county courthouse, and that is so they don't interfere with courthouse business or with the jail.
Has that generally been followed up until recently?
Yes, yeah. We have not, and until the Eric Floyd incident, we have not had a problem.
George Floyd, I believe, is who you're referring to, right?
Yes.
In Minneapolis.
Yes.
So another one of the points in the ordinance where it references you need 30 to 60 days to have advance notice to get something put on the calendar for a demonstration to be approved. That would seem, and some of the board members had seemed to indicate they felt that that was an excessive amount of time that would prevent the kind of demonstrations that tend to happen in response to current events, you know, like the George Floyd protests or something along those lines. Would an ordinance still be workable if it did not require such a great length of time and still meet the kind of considerations that you're looking for your staff to prepare?
Yeah, and I've spoke to some county board members and said, you know what, the time frame doesn't, that's not a big deal to me. I mean, if it was 2 weeks, it would be fine with me. We just need something in place. If you're going to have a rally or a protest, we need a contact person. You know, and we need to know who to contact if we have issues. It's not so much the, I'm very flexible on the timing as far as notice.
It also asks for fines of up to $500 for organizers and up to $100 for participants who may be participating in this protest that would not be legally permitted. Where do you stand on that?
And again, I'm. It's not up to me to pick the fine amount. I do think there needs to be some type of penalty if they don't comply. And I've even spoke to the City of Bloomington Police Department about enforcing their parade ordinance, because when we've had those protests there, a lot of times they'll take over the street, Olive Street, there by the jail. That poses a safety issue to us too, because need we get a ambulance into the jail, we wouldn't be able to.
So this proposal initially came up in what's called a stand-up committee, as you know, which is typically handled. It's typically reserved for more procedural matters. Several county board members said that this is maybe too big of an issue to be done in this manner. It went to full county board. It got postponed again. Property committee, which typically handles this matter, they also had tabled this matter. So it seems to be in the state of flux. Why do you think it's not only not being acted upon, it's not even really being discussed yet?
I don't know. It's kind of disappointing to me. I mean, it's what's really disappointing is there's some members of the property committee who haven't even reached out to me and asked what my feelings are on it, or asked, hey, how can we better protect the Law and Justice Center and the jail? So that's kind of disappointing. But, you know, we're going to do all we can to that's taxpayer money that funds those buildings, and we're going to do what we can to protect it.
When we first started looking into this, we were more or less told that this was a matter that administration was taking care of. So perhaps they've not reached out because they don't see that it's something that is directly impacting the sheriff's office or something that you are actively behind. Is that possible?
Well, I've had several talks with administration that they've been very receptive, and as far as my opinion on the issue, but it's county board members that haven't sought out my opinion on it, or you know, the struggles we face. And like I said, when you're spending close to $20,000 of overtime, and when you've got protests that are riling up inmates on the inside and cause an injury to correctional officers, I believe those county board members have a duty to protect county property and county employees.
Is there any other step that could be taken to sort of contain that without that being such a risk to staff inside?
Well, what we have done anytime there's been a rally or a protest is we go to a lockdown situation where the inmates are put in their cell while this is going on. Problem is, you have some inmates that will refuse to lock up, and that's when we have our issues, and that's when we have some injuries.
The ACLU had submitted a comment at the property committee last week indicating that this could be a real constitutional issue if demonstrations are curtailed in any way. Is there concern that does potentially cross a line, that this may be too restrictive for what people feel are First Amendment rights?
Well, I'm not sure about all that, but I know that ordinances, the two that were looked at, they were copied from other jurisdictions. So, and like I said, the one was less restrictive than the City of Bloomington's. So I don't know what is different about ours or that would they say is we could be sued for.
Is this a too much of a political hot button issue for the county board to want to address, and that's why they're not addressing it?
I think to some extent that is part of it. With elections coming up, I think some people may be reluctant to make a decision on this. And like I said, I think they have a duty to do what's right, to protect county property and county employees, and also taxpayer money.
I guess one thing I was kind of surprised about, since this is something that you clearly are passionate about and feel what is needed, we haven't heard any public statements from you on this prior to. Is that a matter of just working behind the scenes on it, or any particular reason for that? Because, you know, you have a sort of a pulpit to use to convey the message on a broad scale.
Yeah, I was sitting back and was going to let I have talked to some county board members, but I was going to let them do what they've been elected to do. And it's just become aggravating when things get tabled and not even discussed. So, I'm always open for broad discussion on the issue, but when things get shut down and there's no discussion at all to it, that's, you know, something has to be done. And I just hope we can get to that point.
So you plan to once again try to reconnect with the county board members, or at least members of the property committee, since it's sort of in their court right now?
Yeah, and like I said, I have heard from about half of the members of the property committee on my thoughts on it. And you know, we will keep advocating for us. I mean, I've got a duty to protect the buildings and the employees, and that's what I'm going to fight for.
The correctional officers that you mentioned, were any of them hospitalized? Anything you can say about the severity, the extent of their injuries in these incidents?
No, there was no hospitalizations, but there was injuries that are, we still have a couple that are on light duty because of their injuries.